Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, now that's interesting.
It is.
60 years.
It is interesting.
I've driven two Ford Mustangs, both of them convertibles. One was very stupidly a red convertible Ford Mustang that I had in my late 20s. And I loved the car. It was great. It would go fast, a little too fast. And it was very stylish with a black top and shiny red car.
The story I read said, you know, some of the other, you know, like sports cars of the past, like the Camaro, have gone the way of the dinosaur. They're not being produced anymore, but Ford is committed to continuing to make the Mustang.
Well, they should.
Yep.
I mean, that's a quintessential classic
American
car. I'd get another Mustang. It's a little low these days. You know, I don't need to go to QC Kinetics for my knees or anything, but it is weird.
Right.
As you get
older.
Wouldn't
it be cool to, you know, if you know, money was no object and you could buy an older one and restore it like a 67 or a 68? That wouldn't
that
be cool? Yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the Mustang convertible. I've had lots of Fords. I mean, the Ford Explorer that I'm driving now is kind of more my my scene with these two big dogs that I got to drag around all over.
You know,
the place.
I'm a big SUV guy too. So,
yeah, but it was fun. I finally got tired of being stopped by the police for going too fast. So, I stopped speeding, and I figured having a red convertible was, I mean, you're just begging for people to either pay attention to you, but sometimes the attention you get when you're speeding and you're driving a red Mustang is just, dang, I don't need it. So then my next plan when I hit like 32 years old was to get a silver Mustang convertible. And that didn't seem to attract the same attention. And it suited my different look. You know, I've passed the flaunting era of my life, and let's get into something more subtle. And now I'm just at the Ford Explorer where I lug dogs and boxes back and forth.
John, I'm jumping in here for a moment. Question, I've noticed a common thread here. All of these vehicles seem to be Fords. Are you a Ford guy? Is that...
It's too bad. I would love to be, you know, we do these ads on the radio, and for some reason, Ford has never wanted to do ads on the radio. And I've loved my Ford cars. I'm happy to say nice things about Ford, but nobody cares. So
certainly going back in the day, everybody seemed to be either a Ford man or a Chevy man.
Or a Chevy guy, yeah. So if I had to choose, I'd probably, well, clearly I've chosen.
It sounds that way.
Ford person, yeah. But I really love the Mustangs. Well, that's really interesting. Good.
So one other thing on the car. This is going back to something you said yesterday. You were talking about how often you were getting car washes because of pollen. I sure hope that you have an unlimited pass somewhere around town.
No, someone was telling me that I should get the
absolutely.
Unlimited pass.
It's like the cost of a wash and a half. You should get one. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll take a look at that. Good. Good advice. 808. On this Wednesday morning, it's the 17th day of April, 2024. I'm John Reed, and we are glad you're with us here on News Radio WRVA. So as you know, the members of the Virginia General Assembly returned to Richmond for the veto session. This is when they deal with all the bills that the governor has vetoed. It doesn't look like the Democrats have anything close to the momentum or the sheer numbers that it would take to override Governor Youngkin's vetoes, which is great. You know, on the day you're frustrated with Glenn Youngkin and you don't think he's done what you want him to do, just remember what it would be like if Terry McAuliffe was the Democrat was the governor, or really any Democrat was the governor. We'd be actively turning Virginia into California with some really horrible ideas that have failed everywhere they've been tried. But these morons would be trying to do it in Virginia. So Glenn Youngkin has set a record for vetoes. And I, for one, want to make like a baseball cap and a T-shirt for him so that he will embrace the idea that he has saved us from so many bad Democrat ideas. But what vetoes, what returned legislation with amendments do we need to keep track of? Former state senator Amanda Chase, who has never been one to be worried about just telling you what she thinks, she is with us this morning. And Amanda, I really appreciate you coming on because I have been tracking your updates on Facebook, and I really appreciate the kind of insider's view of, you know, how these things are moving through the General Assembly. What do you think we should be paying attention to today with the veto session and the legislature returning to Richmond? Good morning.
Well, good morning, John. And let me just begin by saying, you know, I get a lot of people aren't interested in politics, but today is the day to pay attention. And if you have access to a computer today, tune in at noon today, and you can go to virginiagenerassembly.gov. There are actually live links to both the House and the Senate, or if you get my newsletter, people can sign up at chaseforsenate.com, my old website. But you can actually watch online. And what's happened is we have, basically it's going to be a showdown between Governor Youngkin and the Democrat-controlled legislature. And we've already seen a video that was put out by Speaker Don Scott. And he's attacking the governor, saying that, you know, the governor is going to shut down the government, which is complete BS. It's false. That's not what's going to happen. I support the governor. I really think that, and I'm really proud of him. And, you know, I'm not afraid to criticize Republicans either, but I really have to applaud Governor Youngkin because you did, to the truth of Don Scott, Speaker Scott, he did have a bipartisan budget with both Republicans and Democrats, and we can break that down on which Republicans. I have to give a shout out to Delegate Cherry and Early for being more conservative on the budget. And, you know, we have to question Delegate Coyner and Ware supporting the budget. I tend to be more conservative, and I actually have to give a shout out to Senators McGuire and Sturdivant for voting against the budget, because I think they should have really stuck with the governor on this. And the governor offered a record 242 amendments to the budget, which I really applaud him. I probably would have vetoed all of the Democrat budget ideas. But, you know, the governor has a $64 billion common ground budget, and his goal was to eliminate all the tax increases. He was investing a record number $21.2 billion in K-12 education. I love this one as a parent who has four young adults. My kids are graduating. My youngest is graduating from college this year, but it caps tuition increases at 3%. And then includes a 3% pay raise for teachers and state employees in each year. So the governor has this budget. But what happened is, whenever the budget passed by the Democrat-controlled General Assembly, they eliminated over $850 million of the governor's priority spending items in the introduced budget. And they eliminated, get this, I know you're not surprised, John, but the Democrats eliminated the $1 billion of tax relief for everyday Virginians. And the Common Ground budget restored the $230 million of those priorities. So I really have to give it to the governor. You know, even though you had a bipartisan budget, he still came back and said, no, look, I'm going to insist that we reduce taxes on every Virginian. So I really have to give him a shout out on that. And really, of the Republicans, it was Delegates Cherry and Delegates Early and Senator Sturtevant that really stood with the governor and said, we're not just going to pass any budget. We want these tax cuts, and we're going to insist on that. So I have to applaud them.
You've dealt with a lot of Democrats and Republicans, and you know, one thing I've always liked about you is that you don't necessarily go along with everyone just to be friends with them. You have an independent streak. I think that's valuable in the legislature. Why do you think Democrats feel that this high tax plan that they won't let go of is a winner for them when it comes to the elections? I just, you know, the people who lecture us always about, you know, how they care about the little guy, continuing to push for tax increases that'll hit the little guy, that just seems like a loser to me. What am I missing here?
I don't think you're missing anything. And I think what happens is the Democrats take during campaign season, they simply talk about the abortion issue. That's what they focus on. And, you know, we have to do a better job talking about Democrats putting forward legislation to link our vehicle emissions requirements to that of California. That's what we need to be talking about. We need to talk about all the tax increases that they are imposing on everyday Virginians. We've got to be talking about the right things. You know, the other thing that I've been looking at is those are just recommendations, 242 amendments to the governor's budget. But then you've also got 233 bill recommendations. These are amendments to over 1,000 bills, basically, that passed both the House and the Senate. And the governor's had a lot of work to do on those bills. He offered over 233 bill recommendations. And, you know, personally for me, when it comes to, y'all know I'm a two-way person, I carry for personal protection. Mm-hmm. The governor offered, I think, on 5 different gun bills, he offered amendments to those. I probably would have vetoed any bill that would restrict a law-abiding citizen's ability to protect themselves. But the governor did. 90% of the gun control bills that were ridiculous. I mean, they penalized law-abiding citizens. He vetoed those bills. So I have to...
Yeah, thank goodness he did.
Credit where credit is due. Yes, absolutely.
Can you imagine if Terry McAuliffe was in the governor's mansion, what we'd be dealing with right now? It would be unbelievable, the stuff that the Democrats were able to push through.
And elections do have consequences, and I know people get frustrated, if whether the governor does this or not. But like you said, any day with a Republican governor is going to be better than a date with a Democrat governor, as we have seen both in the budget. And I've been very pleased with the governor, you know, not compromising on raising taxes for Virginians. We're taxed enough already, and we need to better prioritize where we are spending our money. And I've always said we need to go to zero base budgeting. Let's start from scratch and justify our expenses instead of,
you know, Amanda, I think you're right, because I remember before my father passed away, he was stunned at how growth in the state budget had exploded since he left the legislature. You know, and he voted against the budget several times because he said, I'm just not going to, even with the Republican governor, said, I'm just not going to support something that blows up the spending like this, because we may not be able to afford it someday, even with the balanced budget requirement in Virginia. And I just think we're spending too much money and we're setting ourselves up for failure in the future. So that's interesting that you would bring that up. I'm inclined to agree with you.
Yeah. I think in the 8 years that I was in the state Senate, and that was the skinny budget that we passed last year. And right before election season. And I think it's important. You know, I don't know of a budget in the last 8 years that's actually cut the budget. You know, that's what in our family, that's what we do. You know, whenever, thankfully in Virginia, we have to balance our budget. That's the law.
That's the one thing we got going for us, is they can't spend us into oblivion like they're doing in Washington. Former State Senator Amanda Chase in Chesterfield, I always appreciate your insight and candor. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me on, and folks should turn in today to VirginiaGeneralAssembly.gov. Just do a search and look it up. You can watch online today, and I encourage everybody to. The government's spending your money, so you need to know where they're spending it, and hopefully we'll do a recap after the battle is over today. But it's going to be hot and heavy at the Capitol today. You can make notes about it.
We'll have you back. Senator Chase, thank you. All right, we're back with more in a moment. It's 8:19. I'm John Reed, News Radio WRVA.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.